Hello and welcome to a bonus edition of the Alabama Football Podcast, where we're counting down the 10 headlines that Alabama fans missed as a result of spring practice being canceled. And this is a bonus topic as part of a bonus podcast. So we talked about the 10 articles that we ran down, and I think there's a couple of additional or bonus topics that I'll just hit real quickly in this quick show. I think they're in addition to some of the other topics, some overlap, there always is. What are some of the bonus topics or bonus headlines that we would have seen during spring drills that we're missing out on? There certainly would have been a run of articles on Pete Golding. I mentioned him when we talked about the linebackers. Linebackers still young, still inexperienced. Would that have been an indictment on Pete Golden? If the defensive line was looking just out of this world, would that be would that reflect well on Pete Golden? The secondary sort of being unresolved and sort of progressing through the rotations. How would that have been spun for or against Pete Golden? It would have been interesting, really, to see the spin. How was some of the media? How are some of the commentaries? How are some of the fan comments in the message boards? How are they being spun for or against Pete Golden? I think that would have been an interesting storyline to watch. I maintain my position. I am bullish on Pete Golden. I think the defense is going to be pretty sound this year. And I think when we get to the end of the season, there'll be some positive reflections and positive commentaries thrown in the direction of Pete Golden. Freddie Roach, I think it would have been interesting to hear, especially questions pitched to the defensive linemen. Hey, what's new with Freddie Roach? How is he performing versus versus Brian Baker? I think that would have been an interesting storyline to get to some of those sort of below the surface questions. Of course, we all like Freddie Roach as a former player and a former coach, so it's fun to have him back. I view him as an improvement at the position, and not that Baker's a bad coach. I mean, he went to the NFL, right? And so that means we talked about this. That means he has a skill set that's well thought of. It just wasn't a fit, and that's okay. Freddie Roach, we know, is a fit. It's almost like the David Ballou thing. Everything's an example for something else. If you have two guys that have equal speed, equal top-end speed, whoever can get to that speed the faster is always going to win the race. Well, it's that same principle. You know, if Baker and Roach are – the same caliber coach, but one can mesh with Saban and one can't, then one's going to be better in this environment. That doesn't mean to say that there's not another environment where the other is better, but I think Freddie Roach is probably the better coach for this environment. And it would have been good to see some of the articles, some of the commentary, some of the interviews, some of the players' commentary about Freddie Roach. I think that would have been good. Staff continuity, we've talked about this on a previous show as well. We talk about a lot of stuff, don't we? But the staff continuity, having the coordinators back, this is the first time in 4 or 5 years where that's been true. There's only been just the defensive line coach turned over. So how would that have carried over into spring with the players getting the updated lessons, the updated training from the same roster of coaches? I think that would have been an interesting storyline, maybe subtle, but there would have been hints, right? The players are, the players this spring are farther along than they were last spring. That type of storyline would have pointed to the coaching continuity. The opposite is true. The fact that we're not doing practice, the fact that we're not having practices, really, we're benefited by the fact that we have the staffing continuity. So it would have been a good storyline. It's probably even a better storyline now, knowing that it exists when we think about not being able to execute spring drills. Every spring, an interesting topic or sort of watch item are players that are going to leave the team. There's a couple times during the year that players leave. And spring practice is certainly one of those. You think about it's not written in stone, the pecking order in spring, but it's a good sort of writing on the wall. And so if I'm a player and I'm being passed over by, if I'm a junior, right, and I'm being passed over by sophomores in spring, and I know there's an incoming class of freshmen that are going to be given an opportunity, well, then how do I shake out? And maybe that's something I need to look at. Maybe that's an opportunity. Maybe that's an indication that I need to transfer. And so spring drills is certainly always one of those opportunities for players to move along. Fall camp, you will sometimes see that in fall camp before the season kicks off. And at the very end of the season, bowl season-ish, you'll see players depart so that they can start their next school where they're going to transfer to. They can start in that spring semester. So you start thinking about that, and you start looking at the roster. And it's a dangerous thing to mention names, because I like every one of these players. I would not pick any of them if I had to pick players to leave, which thankfully I don't have to. But I don't know that I would pick any of these guys because I like all of them. But you start looking at where are they in their eligibility versus where are they in the depth chart. And some names sort of bubble up as they're not demonstrating a progression relative to, and you start to wonder, are these the type of guys that would potentially transfer? And so let me just run through. I think I've got four on offense, four on defense, and a couple of special teamers. Let's start on defense. I'll go Ben Davis. He's a player that came in. Think about this. He came in with Mack Wilson. They were both, Ben Davis and Mack Wilson were both five-star rated linebackers. And Mack Wilson went on and obviously had a great career at Alabama and is now in the NFL. He should have stayed an extra year. But nonetheless, he was a good performer last year as a rookie for the Cleveland Browns. And you juxtapose that with Ben Davis, who has struggled to find the field. And there's been some talk about he's had some injury issues, cramps in his leg and shin splints, and the type of sort of reoccurring injury that has made it difficult for him to practice, which, you know, by extension then makes it difficult for him to see the field. So I'm not close to a lot of that detail, so I don't know how much of that. I don't know much about that, but that's certainly a storyline that has been around. And so you start to weigh that in. Well, what does that mean? Would he then transfer? The reality is, if he's had injuries and he's not been able to practice, that doesn't change if he goes somewhere else. Now, somewhere else, he might, just due to his athleticism, they might say you can practice less and for the sake of your athleticism on the field on Saturday, and we'll keep you healthy during the week. And just let you play on Saturday. I'm sure if he still has that sort of five-star talent and potential, there are some smaller schools that would let him do that. Alabama and Nick Saban, you know, not gonna feed into that. Ben Davis's father, Wendell Davis, is the all-time tackling leader at Alabama, and Ben is from Gordo, which is just, you know, effectively down the road from Tuscaloosa. So in some sense, it'd be hard to imagine him leaving, but you can also sort of see the path to him leaving. And again, I'm not rooting for it. I hope that he comes in as a senior and really carves out a role. I hope he's overcome some of his injury issues. I hope maybe even the new training staff can help him in that regard so that he'll be able to represent his best self as a senior this year, but certainly a name that's on the list. Another name, Jalen Moody at middle linebacker, and I'll say Ali Keho too at middle linebacker. And then let me talk about them both. They're both at middle linebacker. Ben Davis is an outside linebacker. Jalen Moody is a player that, as a true freshman, he played as a true freshman and was especially potent on special teams. And he just reminded me of just the run of players that Alabama had that were so devastating on special teams and then went on to have really good careers at linebacker. I think of Reggie Ragland. I think of Reuben Foster is another one. Just a devastating tackler on special teams. And Jalen Moody is a true freshman. Had he wasn't Reuben Foster, but he had instances of really just laying guys out. And I was like, man, that's the next guy that's going to step in at middle linebacker. To the extent that last year, I thought that he would start alongside of Dylan Moses before the season was over. And then certainly when you think of Josh and Dylan both going out, well, Jalen Moody is your guy. He's right there ready to go. And it turns out he was passed over by a true freshman. And that's a struggle, right? And in fact, he was passed over by two freshmen because both middle linebacker spots were open. Both were filled by true freshmen. And so you could reason that he was effectively beat out because Dylan and Joshua were the starters. And so Jalen was beat out by those guys. No harm in being beat out by Dylan Moses, but still, Joshua is a different conversation. Beat out by a true freshman at the linebacker position, and now we have a wave of you know, DeMoy Kennedy and Drew Sanders coming in, which is another wave of true freshmen. And you think, well, where does Jalen Moody fit into that? And I would love. He's such a big, sort of robust player. Seems to move well. I can't reason why, other than just scheme. He hasn't learned the scheme. Why he's not in the mix, but you know, it appears that he hasn't been. And so this spring would have been an interesting opportunity for him to level set, for him to gauge, for us as fans to see how is he kind of shaken out. Because I do think we talked about linebacker. There's a lot of opportunity at the linebacker position, and so it would have been interesting to see how he performed there. Ollie Cahoe. Almost all of that is true of him as well. He was a special teams maven last year, blocking a couple of punts. And so he has had more success on the field at Alabama than I think Jalen Moody has. And so you think, well, would he leave? Well, I don't know. If he had a chance to start somewhere, then, you know, if he went to a smaller school and had an opportunity to compete for a starting role, then, you know, players do that. And so he's on that list of, and it's the same sort of thing at middle linebacker where he was, you know, he got beat out by the two freshmen. He got beat out by the two guys that were going to get hurt. There's still the two true freshmen that are coming in. He's got to be better than Jalen Moody to get into sort of a competitive opportunity. He did see the field. And so maybe you could reason that he's a little bit ahead of Moody because he did see the field some last year when there was just a real struggle at the middle linebacker position, but he wasn't the answer to the puzzle. And so did he get enough playing time and experience where he could build on that? That would have been interesting to see. Or would he have been frustrated by his slippage in the rotation, in the depth chart, that he would look to move on? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but it's he's one of the players on the list. I include my fourth defensive player, and you know, and even as I look at it now, I think maybe I should take him off the list. But I include Daniel Wright. He's a player that I think has the opportunity, and I may answer my own question here. He's a player that I think has the opportunity to compete for a starting role at three different positions. I think the money and the star, and the free safety position. I think he has an opportunity to compete for a starting role at each of those. Now, we get back to the comparative advantage, conversation. If you were to put Daniel Wright at star and Ronald Williams at corner, then you say who plays their position better relative to the other guy. So does Ronald play corner better than Daniel plays star? Probably he would. And so that would put Patrick Surtain at the star, which is my prediction where he starts. And then you start looking at, well, how about the money position, the dime back or the free safety? What opportunities would Daniel Wright have there? And I think that he would be in the one, I think he might be one at one position and two at the other. So I think that he has an opportunity to compete for a starting role is really what I'm getting at, which is an indication that he shouldn't be anywhere near this list. But what if he entered spring camp thinking, as I do, I have the opportunity to compete for a starting role at three positions. And if I've been in the program as long as I have, and I've demonstrated the capability that I have, and I have an opportunity to compete for one of three positions, there's a part of my mind that says there's a 100% chance that I win one of those three jobs. And I, you know, we all sort of competitive with ourselves, and but we also, you know, want some self-assurance. And I think that would have been an easy conversation for him to have with himself, that there's a 100% chance that I win one of those three jobs. I don't know which one, but it's without exception that I win one of them. And then what if he didn't win any of those jobs? What if he were number two at all three of them, but he finished second to someone at each of those three positions, and finished second to someone different, right? Because he's not playing. In that case, would he consider leaving at the end of spring practice? I think there's a legit opportunity that he would. So that's how he makes the list, even though I think he's competing for three spots, right? Offense, Terrell Shavers. He has had very limited playing time, and it's going to be interesting to see what his opportunity looks like, because I still think, you know, there's Devonta and there's Jalen. And so I think that you think, and then there's Xavier and Mechie. And so where does he start to pick in the list? There's Slade Bolden, right? So where does he start to pick in? And it starts to be, you know, fifth and sixth, and there's some freshmen coming in. And so what if he gets beat out by a freshman? What does that do for his opportunity? He's a tall receiver, which is fans, we always get excited when we recruit a tall receiver. But name a tall receiver that has had measured success or had, you know, substantial success under Coach Saban. You can't. They're not there. And so when you think about the 6'6", 6'7" guys at wide receiver, they haven't been. Now, he's been really good on special teams, which is great. He and Ali Cahoe have sort of been a tandem, which is great. But when you think about Terrell Shavers wanting to play and wanting to succeed at the wide receiver position, I think there's a very, very real opportunity that he could have exited spring drills with the thought of, I can transfer and I can start somewhere, because I do think he's that capable. But in the rotation, there's openings. So I think he would have given spring a chance. But how would he have fared? I don't know. And what would that have led to? I don't know. Major Tennyson. Now, he's in the two deep at tight end. But is there the potential that he gets passed? What if he gets passed by now he's in the two deep, but he's two to Miller Forrestall, right? What if Carl Tucker comes in and takes a job? And what if Jaleel Billingsley has really upped his game and takes a job? With a now Major Tennyson has gone up a year in his classman, right? So now he's a junior. But instead of being number two, he's number four. So what if he goes farther down the depth chart as he progresses to his junior season? Would he then consider leaving? Potentially, right? That's the type of tectonic change, right? Tectonic plate change that can cause a player almost immediately to recognize, I gotta go somewhere else. If I want to play, I'm not going to win national titles. I'm not going to go to the NFL. But if I just want to go somewhere and spend my last couple seasons playing, then I need to potentially make that move. And so Miller, Major Tennyson makes my list for that. Again, not rooting for it. It's just, you know, writing on the wall. Chidarius Townsend, a wide receiver that it's one of my personal favorites, but clearly has been passed. We talked about Terrell Shavers. If you were to list out the wide receivers, and again, Devonta, Jalen Waddle, and then, you know, if you want to go Mechie, and Xavier Williams, and you want to go Slade Bolden, and then number six is Terrell Shavers. Well, you get to seven before you get to Chidarius Townsend. That's pretty far down there. And again, he's progressing his, I think he's going to be a fourth year or a redshirt junior this year. And so you think about, is he another player that wants to just go somewhere and play? I can't crack the roster. I can't crack the lineup here. There's some true freshmen coming in. Where are they going to shake out? They're almost going to have to get playing time, the true freshmen, so that they're ready next year when Waddle and Devonta leave. And so almost by extension, Chidarius is going to slip another spot. And so would he consider leaving? I hope not. I hope he sort of blossoms into something this year, because again, I consider him a favorite. But would he consider leaving? Absolutely. Absolutely would. Talia Tagliavoa, would he consider leaving? And I think he would. And I think for two reasons. And in fact, it's less of me thinking and more of a prediction. And I will go back to a bonus podcast that we released in September, where we talked about Tua going to the Dolphins. The family already has a demonstrated propensity to sort of move with the kids, and really to follow Tua. So they left Hawaii to come live in central Alabama, and with Tua going to Miami, I think the family moves to Miami, and I think they bring Talia with them. I think you can transfer in with the Hurricanes, and if you're the Tagliavoa family, you've got both your kids playing in the same city. Potentially both of them starting for the team, the college and pro team respectively in town. That's a pretty exciting. You're almost like royalty in the city, and so I do think there's not just a potential of that happening. I think there's a probability of that happening. Two other players, Skylar DeLong. I have long considered him sort of the at least his name is the porn star name of punters. When you think about Skylar, Sky Kicks, and then DeLong kicking long kicks. So that's like the porn star name of punters. And then, but I think he's potentially been passed over by a walk-on. And then Joseph Bolivis, looks like maybe he's been passed over by Reichardt. And so I think there's a very real potential that that both of those players could move on. And so that would be certainly something to keep track of during the spring as well. So what's that, 10 players that could potentially move on? That's a big number, but you start looking at each one individually, and I think the case sort of makes itself for each of those guys. Again, I promise I'm not rooting against any of these players, but you start looking at the circumstances, and that's what you come up with. One more topic that certainly I was looking forward to tracking through the spring is just the freshmen in general. And I think I've got all the players here listed that that were on campus and were going to participate in spring drill. Some of them we've already talked about. Bryce Young obviously would have earned a lot of ink. Trayshawn Holden, one of the true freshmen. Again, we talked about Tyrell and Chidarius. With Trayshawn on campus competing in spring drills, that certainly would have been a real live measure for Tyrell and Chidarius. How are they playing against Trayshawn? Are they slipping, or are they holding their own in the roster placement? So that would have been an interesting one to watch. We've talked about Chase McClellan and Roy Dale Williams. I think at least one of them gets reps at the running back position. I think both, and potentially both, get reps at the running back position, because the reality is they're both going to play special teams. At least one of them plays some of the return game. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them saw some reps there. And you think about, if they're going to play enough special teams to burn the redshirt, then you work them in everywhere that you can. And so maybe they split time at the kicker positions. You see which one really has the capability. And then you give both of them, even if it's blowout reps, you give them both reps in games, in actual games at the running back position, so you know more of what you have going into the next season. Seth McLaughlin, offensive lineman, I think he's a legit candidate to redshirt. But again, it'd be interesting to see how he competes with the team this year. On defense, We've mentioned Drew Sanders, linebacker, depending on how things shape up at tight end. Might he have gotten some reps there? That would have been damn interesting to watch. Demoy Kennedy, I just think he's a guy that's just going to pop up and be a pop-up player. And I mean that, and what do I mean by that? I mean that he's going to be hard to keep off the field, certainly on special teams. And I just think he just sneaks his way into the rotation. I just got a sneaky feeling about Demoy Kennedy. Jackson Bratton, I think is an immediate contributor at special teams. Be interesting to see what teams he would have participated in spring drills. He's probably three deep at the linebacker position, but he would have certainly gotten some reps during A-Day, and so that would have been good to watch. Jaquez Robinson, my selling point on Jaquez has always been that he joined the team early enough to participate in bowl game practices, and then he was going to go through spring practice and be another leg up and essentially be two legs up on players that were just coming in the fall. Now, he maintains the leg up because there is no spring practice, but he's a guy that I don't know why. I just have a sneaky feeling that he sort of pops up and maybe in the two deep in the secondary. Maybe he's the second free safety off the field or something like that. Ronald Williams is the JUCO transfer. I think he and I love Carl Tucker off this list, but we've talked about him. Ronald Williams is a JUCO transfer, not a true freshman. That's what made me think of Tucker. But I think he wins a starting spot at corner. And again, we've talked about the secondaries. So it'd be interesting to see his progress. And then I sort of bracket these guys, Will Anderson and Chris Braswell, outside linebackers. I think one of them has an opportunity to potentially start, certainly get into the two deep. I don't know that they both do. But here again, similar to the running backs, I think they both contribute on special teams. And so if they're already burning their red shirt, then you find an opportunity to give them snaps at the outside linebacker position. And one of them will be primary, the other one sort of secondary, but they will both get reps and then both be in better position to compete for the position next year in 2021. One more topic. I'm almost out of breath. One more topic. This is my 12th show that I've recorded. Most of them mini shows, but still that's a bunch of time. And so before I completely run out of gas, there's one last topic that I personally really missed as the result of spring drills being canceled. I was really looking forward to reading the reports, you know, almost every day, getting on the podcast and recording things every couple of days. And I probably end up recording as much content, not having spring drills as I would have if there were. But I really looked forward to that. And I really look forward to, you know, potentially, because there would have been more engagement with you all. I was looking forward to the potential of a couple of folks saying, hey, let's just all go to Tuscaloosa for a day. Grab a drink and just hang out, and you know, we'll go to the stadium or we won't, but let's just make a social event of it. And I was really looking forward to the gathering opportunity, either you know, in the physical space that is Tuscaloosa, or at least sort of in the community of live discussion, as we were all engaged in spring practice and tracking spring practice and asking and answering questions. I was looking forward to that sort of interactive dynamic, and I hate that I missed that as well. Hopefully this recreates some of that. There's a bunch of topics that we've put on the table, and I sort of bat the tennis ball back across the net to you guys and say, you're up, you're up. What questions, what discussion, what commentary you guys have, gals have on this? Drop me an email, hit us up on the Facebook, and well, you know, maybe we get into some additional bonus shows or articles related to that. So with that, I just want to express again my appreciation for all of you and wish you a Roll Tide. This has been another edition of the Alabama Podcast. Hey, stay healthy and safe too. Roll Tide.